Chapter 17 of the book of Luke's Gospel. The story commences with verse 11, but we'll use for a text the remark Jesus made in verse 17. Therefore, we'll read 17:17 of the book of Luke. A well-known story you've heard many times in Sunday school. We want to use tonight. We felt in prayer today this is the will of God for this hour. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Would you read that together with me? And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? 10 lepers, all of them cleansed. Only one returned to give him thanks. My text tonight is very simple. Where are the 9?
All right.
God only knows those, even in this area, that have had the Holy Ghost baptized in Jesus' name, that are still living, and they're not in church, not living for God, that He's helped them out. Financial problems, sicknesses, emotional problems, marriage problems, all kinds of problems. And they're not around any church preaching the truth. If the 9 don't return, how many of you will agree with this preacher? You want to be the one to give him thanks. Would you take a minute and just thank him for everything that he's done to you and for you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise. Praise. Please be seated. It is scriptural that we all depend upon the Lord for our very existence. In Him we live and move and have our being. 17:28 of the book of Acts. Emotional health is tied directly to the goodness of God. The scripture tells me that the God in whose hand thy breath is, 5:23 of Daniel, and whose are all of thy ways hast thou not glorified? I know where my breath comes from tonight. Jesus said it for all time in John 15:5, without me ye can do nothing. We need the Lord, don't we? 1:17 of Colossians, by Him all things consist. Though I do not have a PhD in nuclear dynamics and do not understand the wizardry of an Einstein's theory of relativity, I can tell you the consistency of life is Jesus Christ. The mythical Roman Hercules, proverbially holding the world up, the Atlas of old, 1:3 of Hebrews said of my Jesus, upholding all things by the word of His power. You see, He's been good to you and He's been good to me. Luke 6:35 said He is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. You used to curse His name and use it in bad language and He still had mercy on you. 5:45 of Matthew said, He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. I want to make a case tonight that the least you can do is praise His name. I want to make a case, for I have observed some of you in your inattentiveness to worship. This is not a place to come and look. It's a place to come and worship. 150 of the book of Psalms in verse 5 tells me to praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Verse 6 said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. The only qualification to praise God is breath, not color of your skin, not your educational background, the money in your pocket. No, sir. The only requirement is if you have breath, then we ought to praise Him. We must never forget to be thankful. That was a sin of Israel time and time again. They forgot, as this brother brought out, the pit from whence they'd been digged. Isn't it terrible how short-minded we are of where the Lord's brought us from? I think some of us would lose a little more pride if we could graphically remember the horrible problems we were involved with when the Lord brought us out. In the book of Psalms, if you care to read 106 Psalm, verse 7, verse 13, and verse 21, it all three talks about Israel's forgetfulness. It got to the point that Jeremiah 2:32 said, my people have forgotten me days without number. Now, I know you're busy. Everybody's busy. But listen, if you're too busy to thank God, you're too busy. 3:21 of Jeremiah, 8:34 of Judges, and 2:17 of Judges, 51:11 through 13 of Isaiah, Hosea 4:6, 2:13, 8:14, all say the same. Israel forgot her God when she got fat and sassy and prosperous. It shouldn't be that way. We ought to be able to be thankful in a storefront and in a beautiful new sanctuary. We ought to be thankful when we have but gingham and Levi, or whether you've got a nice suit or a nice dress and a nice home and a nice car. We ought to be thankful for what the Lord's done for us. But Israel went into captivity, part of which was over her unthankfulness. When she got in Babylon, they tried to elicit from her a song. Let's go down to the river and let's see what happened. A psalm was penned, 137, by the rivers of Babylon. There we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. The good times came flooding into their memory. All the vivid recollections of how God had done great things for them. And now they were in Babylon. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. Now this is rather graphic, but I'm going to say it nevertheless. If you're going to keep on forgetting God and not praising Him when you get a chance to, and not being the least bit not ashamed, you're a one God, Jesus' name, tongue-talking, tithe-paying, foot-washing, communion-taking, church-attending, Bible-believing, revival-believing, devil-casting-out-believing, divine-healing-believing, a little heaven, a little hell-believing, the imminent second return of personal Christ-believing, if you're ashamed to thank God how He brought you out from alcohol and from corrupt immorality, from dope addiction, from lying, from stealing, fornication, adultery, licentiousness, idolatry, and the list goes on. If you're ashamed and you forget God, I'm going to pray that your tongue cleaves to the roof of your mouth. You come out here tomorrow night and say, You come out here tomorrow night and say, oh, I didn't have too good a day today. We'll know why you didn't have too good a day today. You forgot God. You forgot to praise Him. You forgot to sing with the song leader. You forgot to worship in the service. Your hands were not up in the air. And you came here with your mind somewhere else. Would you take a minute and clap your hands to Him tonight? Oh, praise God! Praise God! Hallelujah! Can the rice grow up without mire? Can the flag grow without water? Whilst it is yet in his greenness and not cut down, it withereth before any other herb. So are the paths of all that forget God. So are the paths of all that forget God. Job 8:11 and on. And the hypocrite's hope shall perish. Oh God, I don't want to forget. James described the forgetful Christian. 1:22 James, but be a doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Have you ever been in a service and been convicted because you haven't worshipped enough and haven't been thankful enough and you've been griping and complaining and murmuring and disputing and backbiting and a sore head and nothing ever pleases and you can't get along to anybody and you say, God, forgive me of all that nastiness and you're going to do better? And no sooner were the lights out and that same old filthy spirit got on you again. I say it's time we made a change. I say it's time we were thankful. I'd rather be here tonight than out in sin any day. How about you? But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, in many Christian virtues illuminated by 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, particularly verses 5 through 8, it talks about adding to your faith virtue to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity. Then it said, if these things be in you and abound, verse 9, they make you that you neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten and hath forgotten and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You might have been a barroom brawler, Bob, but now you're in the church and you don't fight that way anymore. Remember where the Lord brought you from. You might have been a Flusy Flossy or a Harried Harriet. Oh, but it don't make any difference, finger popping Frank. You're in the house of God and you're not what you used to be. And you need to thank God for that. You never remember reading some of those verses like 1 Peter 2, verse 9 through 11, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises, not the gripes and murmurings and disputings and backbitings. Everybody's got a sad story to tell if you want to hear it. But I haven't got anything sad to say tonight. I've got something good to say. The Lord's on His throne. Heaven is real. The Holy Ghost is for you. God's bigger than the devil. We can have revival. I can make it to heaven. I don't have any sad stories to say. And ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His, not ours. It belonged to Him. His. Marvelous light. You didn't, my friend, come down to Pentecost. You came up to Pentecost. For it was God with us at Bethlehem, God for us at Calvary, but it's God in us at Pentecost. I thank God for this beautiful experience. I read one time where one fellow wrote, he said, God thought it, Jesus brought it, the devil fought it, the Spirit brought it, the Word taught it, I sought it, and I got it. Man, I got something bigger than a gripe box down on the inside. I got something bigger than a whining spirit. There's something come inside of me that give me joy and happiness and peace. I want to thank Him for what He's done for me. Which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Paul uses this theme in 2 of Ephesians, verse 11, when he said, "Wherefore remember." Everybody say, "Remember."
Remember.
Look at somebody and say, "Remember what you used to be." Yeah. "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ." Say, "without Christ." "Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel." Say, "aliens." Man, I got a bang out of this verse the other night in California. I was preaching a little old dusty farming community, and about 100 people there, and half of them couldn't speak English. The pastor was translating for me, and I got to that place where it said aliens, and that place come alive. I didn't understand that. He told me after church why. They were from another country illegally, and they were not supposed to be there, and they knew what that word alien meant. Well, I know what it means, too. I'm not supposed to be feeling what I'm feeling, but I am. I'm not supposed to be having what I have, but I got it. Oh, I praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. "And strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Now, I've got Bible to tell you to get baptized with the baptism of thankfulness. "Be ye thankful." Colossians 3, verse 15. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16. "Rejoice evermore." That means when you're up, when you're down. When you got money, when you don't have money. When the light's about to be turned off and you're behind on the car note, rejoice evermore. Verse 18, "In everything give thanks." It said, "In everything give thanks." It said, "In everything give thanks." 5:20 of Ephesians said, "Giving thanks always." Not every other month, always. Come on, Mr. Pessimist. Come on, come on, come on, come on, you that don't think things are going to turn out all right. "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Brother, I just feel like Paul, 2 Corinthians 9:15, when he said, "Thank be unto God for His unspeakable gift." Woo! Don't you feel that way sometimes? Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. 1 Corinthians 15:57 said, "But thanks be to God which always giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Say, "Praise you, Jesus." Would you? Oh, God, I don't want to be forgetful. I don't want to be unmindful. I want to be thankful. I want to praise you. I want to show you by my faithful attendance to church and to prayer and to Bible reading. I want to show you, Lord, by my life that I thank you what you've done for me. I want to show you by my worship, by my singing, by my cooperation, how good you've been to me. The story tonight is in the book of Luke, chapter 17, verse 11, about Jesus. And the Bible said it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Now, Jesus, of course, was on his way to Jerusalem for serious business. And as he went to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men. Everybody say, 10 men.
10.
10 men that were lepers. Say, lepers.
Lepers.
Which stood afar off. Now, this was in accordance to the strict observance of the law. Leviticus 13, verse 46 demanded if you had leprosy, you had to stay afar off. And furthermore, you had to cry out, "Unclean, unclean." Leviticus 13:2 gave the priest the right to examine to see if you had leprosy. And 14:2 of Leviticus, if you felt you were cured, you had to come back by the priest for another examination. And I won't be preaching tonight concerning ministerial authority or power. Christ gave it. But I do believe if we're going to be saved, we're going to have to be submissive to the ministry. But if you were a leper, you were put afar off. Castigated, ostracized, really excommunicated, frowned upon, looked down upon, and only other lepers that shared the same misery with you could join your company. And if anybody came too close, it was upon your responsibility to say, unclean! Unclean! It's bad enough to have the disease, but to have to announce it to everybody all the time, it came too close, would depersonalize an individual that he was nothing, nondescript, nothing. You don't believe that? You don't believe that that just does something to you? You don't believe that? Brother Pierce, I want you to stand up. Would you do it? You don't believe me? Brother Skip, you stand up. Amen. Brother Offering Taker, you stand up. Come on now. I want to show you something. Brother Hankins, you stand up too. I want to show you something tonight. Sister Rutledge, you stand up over here. Now notice, I just want you to holler out unclean, Brother Pierce, like someone that was coming too close and you had leprosy and you had to warn them off. Say it.
Unclean.
You have to say it louder than that.
Unclean.
Get some feeling in your voice. Unclean.
Unclean.
There. Emphasis was unclean. You may be seated. Brother Skip, can you say it?
Unclean.
Say it again. You see, y'all not really catching it because you don't have the leprosy, I suppose. But you see, if you had the leprosy, there was something about you had to warn them away, and it also depersonalized you.
Praise
Brother Hankins, you try.
Unclean.
All right.
Unclean.
All right. Sister.
Unclean.
There you go. There you go. She just about had it. Well, you know what I'm driving at, don't you? And doesn't sin separate you from God? Isaiah 59:2 said, your sins have separated between you and your God. If you want revival to leave your church, you condone sin all the time. If you want revival to leave your ministry, you condone sin all the time. If you don't want the blessings of God, then you start living in sin. Sin will separate you from God. There met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. Man, they were saying it, not polite either, with desperation. Let's all say it together. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. You need healing tonight, or you'd like to have the Holy Spirit right where you're at. You'd like to have the Lord give you an answer to some problems. You need the Lord's visitation personally. Would you just say, have mercy on us again? Have mercy on us. There has to be a plead. And they made that plead. Have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. He was cooperating with the demands of the law. Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, I like this, 10 men was going down the road to show themselves to the priests, leprous men that had the heinous, macabre, ghastly, unhuman look of flesh eaten away in various places. But they were hurrying to show themselves to the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. They were cleansed. Man, I can almost see the spontaneous combustion as 10 men making their way down the road. And Jacob looked at Levi and said, Levi, your nose don't look so bad anymore. And Levi said, Jacob, your ears don't look so bad anymore. Hey, Joseph, you look different from what you've ever looked. And suddenly they realized they had been instantaneously cleansed and healed. Friend of mine, you talk about something that happened explosively when you suddenly realize what the Lord has done for you, that you've been healed, that you've been delivered, that a prayer's been answered, that a way was made where there was no way. It ought to leave you not with a dry feeling, but with an emotional outburst that you need to praise and thank Him. You know what I would have surely thought would have happened? I would have surely thought 10 men would have turned around and come running back to give the Lord glory. I would have almost, if I was a wagering man, bet you on it. Surely anybody with gross leprosy, suddenly seeing they're completely delivered, would take the time to turn and come back and thank the one that delivered them. Surely they would come to church. Surely they'll get in the choir and sing. Surely they'll help out in the bus ministry. Surely that old boozer and that alcoholic and that dope head and that gambler and midnight rambler and whoremonger, surely that one that had lost his family and his children, his life was all but gone on his way to emotional bankruptcy. Now he's in the church and touch. Surely he's going to cooperate. You'd think, well, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. But the Bible said, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. Everybody say, turn back. I can see it as 10 men were running down the road, and instantly they realized one to another they had been healed completely. And you talk about putting it in overdrive or passing gear. They wanted to hurry on to see the priest. But one of them, he dug his heels in the gravel, spun the rocks all over the place, and he came to a screeching halt, saying, this ain't right. It ain't right for me to go on to the priest. It ain't right for me to go on and enjoy my healing. It ain't right for me to do what I feel like doing. I gotta go back. I gotta turn around, and I gotta go back, and I gotta praise Him. I gotta thank Him. Oh, let me preach to you, friend. It didn't matter what the others did. He didn't predicate or determine his decision on whether the others would go or not. His mind was made up. If you don't want to go back, I'm going back anyhow. If you don't want to worship, I'm going to worship anyhow. If you don't want to tap your hands, I'm going to tap mine anyhow. Praise God, everybody! And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. And everybody say, turn back. It is one of the most awesome tasks facing the pulpit today is to get people to turn back to old-fashioned preaching and praying and worship and church attending, the fundamentals that's made the apostolic ministry what it is. Come on down off of your tangent. Get off of that high horse. It's time we turn back to some basic fundamentals. I said it, preaching will get you in the church. Preaching will keep you in the church. I say if worship will bring a blessing yesterday, worship will bring a blessing today. I say if you was good enough to clap your hands when you didn't have hardly two nickels, when you didn't hardly have two suits of clothes, when you didn't hardly have a good house to live in, and you didn't have hardly a good car to drive, now that He's blessed you, now that He's blessed you, you ought to praise Him like you've never praised Him before. Oh, yes! Yes, 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 yes! Turn back! And with a loud voice. Everybody say loud voice. Now watch out. I want you to say as loud as you can say it. Hallelujah. Come on. That's not loud enough. Come on, let it all go. Hallelujah! And with a loud voice. You see, now there's no need to get so hyper and emotionally tumultuous, preacher. God's not deaf. No, He's not nervous either. And I got plenty of Bible for being vocal. Ezekiel 43:2 talks about His voice was as the sound of many waters. And I gave you, I think, Psalm 150 verse 5 to praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals. Psalms 145 verse 5, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon the beds. There's nothing wrong with a saint of God faithful and been through a trial to come out of that bench praising God and glorifying the Lord. There's no such thing as putting the screws down on people to the point they can't really thank God like they want to thank God. Oh, if you've been healed, you ought to be praising Him. If you had some prayers answered, you ought to be praising Him. If He's brought you out to bring you in, you ought to be praising Him. Did you ever read in Revelation chapter 5, verse 11, of the scene in heaven? You that's planning to go there, you quiet ones, let me talk to you a minute. The Bible said in the scene we are depicting in Revelation 5, verse 11, that round about the throne were beasts and elders and John and the angels. And John began to number them. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. And thousands of thousands. That's 100 million. Saying with a loud voice. Saying with a loud voice. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.
Hallelujah.
And listen to Revelation 19 verse 5. A voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of mighty thunder rings, saying, Hallelujah! 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 That's right. That's right. Stand up, sister, and praise Him. Get it. Stand up and praise Him right now. Praise the Lord. Yes! Praise Him! Praise Him! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Yes, 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 yes. Yes! God, you're good to us. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, help us tonight. Hallelujah! You may be seated. You may be seated. Hallelujah! Let's practice up. Come on. Hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. That's what it said. Let us be glad, rejoice, and give honor to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. It's a future scene, but nevertheless, they're really going to get with it when it comes to pass. There won't be anybody sitting there with their hands folded, nice and petite-like. Man, everybody will be getting with it. Hallelujah! Would to God you try it down here. I just quoted to you, and you said it one to another. 1 Peter 2:5, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Everybody say spiritual sacrifices. Acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, under the Old Testament law, you brought a lamb, a ram, a turtle dove, a young pigeon, a she-goat, a red heifer, some animal. Give it to a priest. He offered it up for you. But that's not in effect anymore. But you still bring sacrifices. You know what they are? You're a New Testament priest, and you're to offer some sacrifice on His altar. Hebrews 13:15, by Him therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Let's put a hallelujah on the altar. Come on.
Hallelujah.
Let's put a praise the Lord on the altar. Let's put a glory to God on the altar. Let's put a thank you, Jesus, on the altar. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. He turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. With a loud voice. What did the early church do a lot of? 24th, 53 of Luke. Praising God. The Bible tells me they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. 247 of Acts tells me they were praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. They even got in jams. You ever read the story in Acts 16 about Paul? You ever read the story? And Silas at midnight? They said, now why did this have to happen to us preachers? We've been preaching this gospel a long time, and it's not fair. They were in jail at Philippi. But that isn't what they said. At midnight, they prayed and sang praises unto God. And you know what happened? Eat your heart out, Elvis. Jailhouse rock. Now, I know there are some of the theologians that threw themselves across the landscape that make this figuratively, just like they tried to make Acts 4:31 figuratively. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak the word of God with boldness, and tongues figuratively, and the street of gold figuratively, and the gate of pearl figuratively. You just keep on, and those are the kind of people who took tears out of repentance and the name out of baptism and the tongues out of the Holy Ghost and holiness out of living for God. But I believe the jailhouse literally shook, and praise made it shake, and worship made it rock. I believe we can worship our way out of depression. We can worship our way out of discouragement. We can worship our way out of disillusionment tonight. Praise God. Turn back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his feet, on his face, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. His nose was in the dust. All you could hear him say was, thank you, Jesus. I was a leper. Thank you, thank you. For touching my leprosy and giving me back my life. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I didn't come here to vote the preacher out. Thank you, Jesus, thank you. I didn't come here to set on the song leader. Thank you, Jesus, for healing me. I didn't come here to strew discord. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the Holy Ghost and let me be in the church triumphant. I didn't come with pride and arrogance. Do you get the picture? All of us ought to be so thankful we got a chance even to go to heaven, and we had a chance to receive the Holy Ghost, that we ought to have a thankful spirit. Fell on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Now that's not in there, incidentally. Samaritans, as I said, 2 Kings 17:24, 4:9 of the book of John, with 10:28 of Acts, among other sundry verses, were a mongrel, mixed breed, race of people despised by the old line Jew who upheld the law of Moses. They were nobody. They were no good, supposedly. But here was a Samaritan with more sense than the rest of them. He turned and came back and gave him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? Now Jesus could count. Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? You know what this tells me? Though Jesus did not heal these lepers conditionally that they had to return and thank him, this verse proves he expected the least they would do would be to come and thank him. Where are the 9? There are not found that return to give God glory, save this stranger. Where are the 9? Lord, they're doing their thing. They missed church for a while. They prayed and you got them out of the hospital. Put their families back together and gave them back their sanity, helped them out of the problems, but they're out cruising and doing what they want to do, God. Where are the 9? I took the beer away and the alcohol and took away the dope and took away the profanity and the terrible anger and wrath, and I patched up all kinds of problems in their life and I give them a hope. Where are the 9? Where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he was on his face in the dust. Thank you, Jesus. 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 That's about all he probably could say. Thank you, Lord. Is that your attitude tonight? Do you thank him for what he's done for you? I want to show you something I feel the Lord showed me. I'll share it with you, accept it or reject it. But I feel it's scriptural. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Or save thee. Notice, he didn't say again, go to the priest. Wonder why.
And it came to me.
Have you ever read Hebrews 3:1, 4:14 Hebrews, 5:5 Hebrews, 6:20 Hebrews, and 8:1 Hebrews? Just many places that, did you know who that was standing there? Telling that poor, groveling, cleansed leper, did he get up? There you go. Do you know who that was standing there? That was the high priest standing there. And the high priest said, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Do you believe the high priest is here tonight? Do you believe the Lamb of God is here tonight? Do you believe the offering is here? And the offerer is here tonight? Oh, if you but come. And if you but surrender, if you but repent, if you but give him thanks, he will be able to say to you, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. I feel to call you tonight to a renewal of thankfulness. I feel to call you tonight for a rekindling of a fervent desire of appreciation of your church, your leaders, your Sunday school teachers, all those that are helping you, the ministry. I feel to call you tonight for a spirit of gratitude and thankfulness that you're not out in some hell hole, that you're not out in some den, some dive, that you're not out in a graveyard, in a Christless grave. I feel to call you tonight to come and thank him and praise him. Would you stand on your feet and raise your hands right where you're at? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise God! Praise God! Praise God! I'm asking, first of all, those that want the Holy Spirit, that want to repent, that want to come and get right with God, you come first right now. Make your way. Come to this altar. Behind these, I'm asking for those of you that feel you need to come and get a spirit of thankfulness. You want God to forgive you for being so unthankful, ungracious, and you want to have a spirit of appreciation for what He's done for you. You come on right now. And those of us that are still standing tonight, you want the Lord to help you to ever be mindful and ever be thankful and never forget what the Lord's done for you. Would you come and stand with us and help us pray tonight? Everybody come. Would you do it? Everybody come. Would you do it? Come on tonight in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God, we're thankful for your blessings. We're thankful for your mercy. Hallelujah.
How you brought me out. Oh.